Evening Night Church. So that's Ruth chapter 4, starting at verse 13. I'm going to pray before I read. Our God and Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks to us. But Lord, we know that without your Spirit working in us, that it's just words on a page. And so, Lord, we pray that you will enable us to be changed by your word tonight, by your Spirit. Amen. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David.
G'day again. It'd be great to have your Bibles open, your outlines in front of you if that's helpful, as we work through this last part of the book of Ruth. Here's a baby up on the screen. Screen's working really well for us tonight. There it is. Pretty run-of-the-mill, isn't it, as far as babies go? That is, until you zoom out. Zoom out, and you see that this isn't just any baby. Of course, this is Prince Louis. This baby is a bit of a phenomenon. This baby, in fact, is making headlines around the world this week. Now, this part of Ruth chapter 4 that Jenny has just read for us, like everything we've read in Ruth so far, it starts, doesn't it, very much zoomed in. Zoomed in on this little family in this little town, and particularly here in chapter 4, on a new little baby. But this part of the book also does something that we haven't seen so far in Ruth. The main movement in this part of Ruth is a sudden jump back. It quickly zooms out and puts this family and this baby and this act of kindness from God on the world stage. Very suddenly, God's kindness that we've been reading about in Ruth becomes world-changing, history-making kindness, life-altering kindness for us thousands of years later. But it starts very much zoomed in. So let's take a look at God's kindness in this last part of the book, starting with God's surprising kindness to Ruth. And it's right there in the very first verse we read, verse 13. It says, "Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife." Now you might be thinking, that's hardly a surprise. I mean, ever since Ruth and Boaz laid eyes on each other back in chapter 2, we've known that this is where this love story's heading. But I reckon that sentence is a bit surprising. Maybe mostly because of what it's missing. Because do you remember how Ruth has been described in this book up until now? If you don't remember, let me remind you. Chapter 1, verse 4, she's described as a Moabite woman. And then again, in 1, verse 22, it says, "Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite." Your Bible might say Moabitess. Chapter 2, verse 2, "Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields.'" 2, verse 6, "Boaz foreman replied, 'She's the Moabite who came back from Moab.'" 2, verse 21, "Ruth the Moabite said..." 4 verse 5, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite." 4 verse 10, Boaz says, "I've also acquired Ruth the Moabite." I mean, does the author of Ruth think we're a bit slow or something? 7 times Seven times it gets pointed out to us that Ruth is a Moabite. I reckon the author could have just said it once and then, you know, let us figure it out. But whoever the author is, they didn't. I reckon they really wanted us to feel the surprise when we get to chapter 4, verse 13, and Ruth is just Ruth. No longer a Moabite because she's married to Boaz the Israelite. That's even more of a shock when we remember, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that God said, no Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. This is surprising because this marriage shouldn't happen. And yet, here's God, in his surprising kindness, providing a husband for Ruth. And more than that, here's God in his kindness welcoming Ruth into the family, not just Boaz's family, God's family. The people who he said that, you know, Moabites couldn't come into, Ruth is welcomed in. Ruth is now one of God's people. God's allowed her to take refuge in him. And now God's promises to love and care for and protect and provide for his people, all those promises are for Ruth, the ex-Moabite. That's the kind of God God is. The Moabites weren't welcome in God's people because they had been particularly unkind. They were undeserving. But God is rich in mercy. He's rich in love. He's rich in grace. And so here's God's kindness to someone who doesn't deserve it. This outsider welcomed in. Surprising love and kindness to Ruth. But this last section really brings the focus back to Naomi. And God's kindness to Naomi is no less surprising. In verse 14, the women reappear, the women of Bethlehem. This is actually their second appearance in this book. Back in chapter 1, we heard about them when Naomi returned to Bethlehem. And when Naomi returned, these women hardly recognized her because she was so empty. She was hungry to the point of death. She was afflicted. She was bitter. She said that God had brought her nothing but misfortune. Have a look at what the women of Bethlehem say now in verse 14. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." It's an epic turnaround. It's an epic turnaround, Naomi, compared to the woman that we met back in chapter 1. From death to renewed life, even in her old age. From emptiness to fullness, from hunger to abundance, from affliction to a life full of love. From bitterness to joy. From misfortune to God's blessing. From hopelessness to redemption. And isn't that surprising? Redemption. Ruth was given a redeemer, and here the women are saying God's given Naomi a redeemer. Spare a thought for Ruth. Have a look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Then Naomi took the child in her lap and cared for him. The women living there said, 'Naomi has a son,' and they named him Obed." Naomi has a son? Come on, Ruth has a son. We just read about that last week. Ruth has a son. Now, I don't think we're supposed to read this as if Naomi is stealing Ruth's son or even that Naomi is stealing Ruth's limelight. What we're really getting a picture of is the surprising depth of God's kindness, the surprising redemption of Naomi. This woman who was empty is now full. This woman who lost her husband and lost both her sons, remember, in the opening verses of this book, she now has a son again. The woman who wanted to change her name to Bitter, crying tears of joy as she holds her grandson in her arms. Surprising loving kindness from God. But it's from this picture of a woman holding a baby in her arms, that the book of Ruth suddenly takes a step back, suddenly zooms out to show us that big picture. And what a picture it is, because suddenly we see God's kindness on the world stage. God's kindness to one small family in one small town actually turns out to be the beginning of the greatest act of kindness the world's ever seen. It is extraordinary kindness. And extraordinarily, Naomi and Ruth get to be part of it. Take a look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, "This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz," and now we know where we are, here's some familiar names, "Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David." Turns out, Ruth and Boaz are the great-grandparents of none other than King David. Naomi is the great-great-grandmother of the great King David. God, in his extraordinary kindness, has included Naomi and included Ruth in his plans for his people. And so we're zooming out from one family to the whole nation of Israel, to the whole history of Israel. And remember the context of Ruth? Remember the period of history that this takes place in? The very first verse of Ruth chapter 1 said that this happened in the days when the judges ruled. Now, the days when the judges ruled, that period of history was an epic disaster for God's people. It was terrible. It's summed up pretty well by the very last verse of Judges, which is just a few pages back in your Bible, by the way, because Judges comes right before Ruth. But let me read the last verse of the book of Judges. It says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit." And as you can imagine, it was anarchy. It was chaos. God's people were in a really bad place in the time of the judges. And so, God's showing his kindness by saving Naomi, by redeeming Ruth, rescuing them both from poverty, but he is also showing kindness by including Naomi and Ruth in his plans to pick the whole nation of Israel up off the floor. He's going to send a king, King David. And King David will be Old Testament Israel's greatest king. That is extraordinary kindness, isn't it? That is extraordinary kindness to include Naomi and Ruth in those plans. But God's kindness doesn't stop there. The shockwaves of God's kindness here ripple out across history. Did anyone feel the shockwaves of the earthquake that we had here on Anzac Day? Anyone feel it? Chuck your hand up. Nobody. Yeah, me either. Worst earthquake ever. I actually read in the news this week that that earthquake was so small that Geoscience Australia, who is in charge of measuring these things apparently, did not even bother to record the impact. God's kindness, on the other hand, God's kindness is a 9 on the Richter scale. The events of the book of Ruth, the shockwaves just ripple out across history to King David, and then on 1,000 years after that, to be felt all the way in Matthew chapter 1. Now, Ruth ends with a genealogy. Matthew starts with a genealogy. Matthew chapter 1 starts with the words, "A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And then comes, as you'd expect in a genealogy, a list of names, starting with Abraham, eventually getting to some names we've just read about, Perez, Hezron, before in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David." And then the names go on after that, after David, until finally we get to Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. This is where God's kindness to Naomi and Ruth is truly extraordinary, because not only are they part of what God's going to do through King David, they are part of what God's going to do through King Jesus. And what God's going to do through King Jesus is very surprising. Because Jesus came to show God's kindness to the world. He came as a king to show God's kindness to the world by becoming a servant. The son born to Ruth, the son who brings so much comfort to Naomi, his name Obed. Obed means servant. God's kindness in sending Obed, God's kindness in sending a king, points us very clearly to God's greater kindness in sending a greater king and a greater servant. Philippians chapter 2 puts it like this. It says, Jesus, being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. It gets more surprising than that because this servant king humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the depth of God's love, the depth of God's surprising kindness, that God sent his son, Jesus, and he sent him to die in our place so our sin can be forgiven. His humble death brings people who are undeserving like Ruth and people who are without hope like Naomi, people who are very much like us, into his family. He shows his kindness by saving us. He shows his kindness by redeeming us at the cross. Extraordinarily, Jesus became a servant, and so God's kindness continues today. So the book of Ruth doesn't really end where it ends, if that makes sense. It ends with Naomi holding baby Obed, but that genealogy launches us, catapults us forward to today. Because God's extraordinary kindness that started then is still felt now as people all over the world are experiencing the kindness of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians goes on to say that God did all of this so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. God is on a mission. His kindness is not finished. He is on a mission to make his kindness known. And that leaves us with a couple of things to think about, I reckon. First, we've been redeemed and saved into God's family. God is now our Father. And our Father God is a God who is full to overflowing with kindness. And so, it says in Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And in Colossians chapter 3, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Kindness should characterize us as God's people. As people who've clearly seen God's kindness, we are in the best possible position to show that kindness to others. Speaking of babies, when Claire and I were expecting our first baby, Claire was sick and uncomfortable, and we were nervous, as you are, and someone from our church family here came over and helped Claire clean the house a couple of times. This lady did that because she had noticed that we had no extended family here, and she knew that that could be really hard. She was on the lookout for an opportunity to show kindness. And she showed kindness, even though she didn't have to, even though it wasn't asked for. She was willing and ready. Let's be on the lookout for those kinds of opportunities. Opportunities to lend a hand, opportunities to be generous, to be thoughtful in our conversations and gentle in our interactions. Opportunities to care, to forgive, to write a card, to make a call, to share a coffee. Let's be ready with kind words and kind actions, because Jesus has been kind to us. We live in a world that's often condescending and judgmental and selective about who and how it loves, but we're in the best possible position to show surprising kindness in this world because God has been kind to us. The second thing Ruth leaves us to consider is our part in God's kindness. Because just like Ruth and Naomi were caught up in God's plans, we too have been called to be part of God's plans for his ultimate kindness to be known around the world. The greatest kindness that we can ever show anyone is to share Jesus with them. The greatest kindness to our classmates, our workmates, our neighbours, strangers, is inviting them to church, talking with them about eternal things, telling them about Christ Jesus, sharing God's extraordinary love with them. It is clear, isn't it, from the book of Ruth, that God's in the business of showing kindness. That should be a really big encouragement to us. Should be a really big encouragement as you pull a late night to prepare to lead youth group, or as you teach kids about Jesus at Kids for Christ, as you give a little bit more than is comfortable to support people who are sharing the gospel in France or in Kenya. It's the kindest thing you can do, because it's pointing people to the greatest act of kindness the world has ever seen. As you work through 6 steps to sharing Jesus, or as you work through the upcoming Acts studies in your small groups this term, as you get to know new people here at our Sunday meetings, as you nervously invite someone to our Bring a Friend Sunday that's coming up in a couple of weekends' time, as you pray for those people who you invited to go along to the Investigating Jesus course, as you persevere for yet another year in loving and talking with your unbelieving family members, as you invite someone to read the Bible with you, as you serve and then serve some more, and look, maybe you can wonder, what on earth is all that achieving? All of those things, they can seem small. They can seem like they have no real impact. But we see from this part of Ruth that they are part of something big. Something surprisingly big, something extraordinary. All of those things are part of God himself showing the world the greatest act of kindness it's ever seen. So let's take great joy in God's kindness to us. And this week, Night Church, let's live with great eagerness to show that kindness to others too. Let's pray.